Well, today is on the church calendar World Communion Sunday. It's a very special time of the year for Christians around the world. It's a time when Christians together celebrate Holy Communion and come to the Lord's table. World Communion Sunday is a celebration observed by several Christian denominations, taking place on the first Sunday of every October, that promotes Christian unity and ecumenical cooperation. The tradition originated in the Shadyside Presbyterian Church in 1933 and was adopted throughout the U.S. Presbyterian Church in 1936 and then later spread to other denominations. Finally, in 1940, the Federal Council of Churches endorsed World Communion Sunday and began to promote it to the Christian churches worldwide. Now, when we think of World Communion Sunday, and how Christians throughout the world come to the Lord's table for communion, I want you to think how today is the closest thing on earth to a time of communion in the future in which all believers will take part, and that is the wedding supper of the Lamb. Today, Christians all over the world will take part in the sacrament of communion, and although we are separated geographically, we are, as the song says, one in the Spirit and one in the Lord. But a time is coming when we will not only be joined as one in the Spirit, but also one geographically and physically, so to speak. As we today eat and drink, we will one day feast at a heavenly banquet. When Jesus ate the Passover meal with his disciples in Matthew chapter 26, he said to them, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it with you anew in my Father's kingdom." Now, when Jesus said that, he was not only referring to a time, but he was also referring to a place. A time and a place when his disciples would be joined together and he would sit once again and feast together with his followers. Jesus made reference to a future banquet in the kingdom of God in Matthew and in Luke's gospel, as he taught using parables about those who would be at the banquet in the kingdom of God. If you remember, in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, Jesus was sitting with the Pharisees, and they were questioning Jesus, and he was teaching. And he spoke to them this parable: "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. So there was this wedding banquet. He invited certain people, and they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." In other words, the best has been prepared. Come. But they paid no attention, and they went off, one to his field, another to his business. In other words, they ignored the invitation. Well, some seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed the murderers and burned their city. And then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets, and they gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. They accepted the invitation. Later we read in Luke's gospel that Jesus was now at the house of a prominent Pharisee, and he taught the same concept. When one of those at the table heard what Jesus was teaching, this person said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet, and he invited many guests.
At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, "Come, everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." That person was busy, too busy to accept the invitation. Another said, "I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." That person was not ready. That person was not prepared. Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." That person had their priorities confused. And in all these cases, there was a power struggle going on. So the servant came back and reported to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered the servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." Now, to those Jesus was speaking to, this would have implied sinners being invited. "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there's still room." So the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full." Talking about being invited to a banquet, he said, this is what the kingdom of God will be like. Many will be invited, but many will turn down or ignore the invitation. The Apostle John had a vision when he was exiled to the island of Patmos of future things and of heaven. And he wrote the book that we know of as Revelation. He saw many things that he wrote about, but he also heard many things. In chapter 19, he says, "I've heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear.'" What John heard and at other places saw was a great cloud of witnesses, a great gathering of people in praise and worship to Almighty God, praising God and rejoicing. And he talks about a wedding that's taking place. "The wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready." Now, when you read the Bible, you understand Jesus was the Lamb of God. John the Baptist described Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin, who takes away the sins of the world. And in here, what John was hearing was the praise and the worship, because a certain time had come when Jesus and His bride were being joined together. Now, in the Old Testament, the bride is called by the prophets Israel, God's chosen people. In the New Testament, Christ is the bridegroom, and the church, or believers, Christians, are the bride. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said, "I'm jealous for you," to the believers in Corinth. "I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to Him." Speaking of that husband-wife relationship between believers in Christ, the church in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the Word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies." He's speaking of this marital covenant and this marital connection between Christ and the church as there is between a husband and a wife. And he says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. In other words, the two become one. The believers, the followers of Christ and Christ come together as a husband and bride becoming one. So the rejoicing and the praising is because this time had come for the wedding of Christ and His church, joining together. Now, if you know anything about Jewish history and the culture of those times, there were great celebrations at weddings, great feasts, great suppers. And he says that this time had come for this feast, for the Lamb and His bride, for Christ and the church. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. The garments, the wedding clothes, purity. The church was now pure. And the saints were now pure, dressed or robed in righteousness. In Isaiah 61, the prophet says, "Thanks be to God, for He has robed me in righteousness." Jesus said to the church of Sardis, "To those who have not soiled their clothes, they will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will be like them, dressed in white." The 24 elders of Revelation chapter 4 were dressed in white. In Revelation 6, it tells us that the souls of those who had been slain because of the Word of God were given a white robe. Those who came out of the great tribulation in Revelation chapter 7 were standing before the throne in front of the Lamb wearing white robes. It tells us they had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That is the Christians, because that's what we're told throughout the Gospels. When Christ, the one who is faithful and true, returns to set up His millennial kingdom in Revelation 19, the armies of heaven come with Him dressed in fine linen, white and clean. These were wedding clothes. Wedding clothes given to the believers who are now joined together at the end of time with Christ. The saints, as it tells us, because fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Who were the saints? The saints were those who were considered morally blameless or religious or consecrated to God. Paul writes about them throughout the New Testament. The saints, the believers, we become morally blameless and consecrated through the blood of Christ, through washing and rebirth, the cleansing and purifying through Christ Jesus. This is clearly the church he's talking about, joined together with Christ. And as he hears these things, the angel says to him, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Here we see the true grace of Almighty God. If we've read the Bible, then we conclude that all people are invited, right? But you see, Jesus taught in the Gospels, and the Gospels teach us that although all are invited, not all are going to come, and not all are going to be there. In fact, if one looks further in chapter 19, they see another great supper, the supper of judgment. "I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, 'Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and mighty men, of horses, their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great.'" Talking about the great battle of Armageddon that was about to happen. Great supper is about to take place in the future. One of grace, one of judgment. One of grace and one of judgment. You see, only those who will be robed in righteousness will be at this great marriage feast, this heavenly banquet. There's a story told by Dr. James Montgomery Boyce about a young man who was invited to a banquet, so he got all dressed up. And it was raining outside. So as he walked to the banquet,
He had his umbrella and it was raining, and he was able to stay somewhat dry, but a car went by and splashed water and dirt up on this young man. So he looked at himself the best he could. He brushed himself off and he kept on going. And he thought, well, it looks pretty good. I think I'll keep going. I can go to the banquet like this. He went a little further, got closer to the corner where the street light was, and looked at himself and started to think, oh my gosh, it's worse than I thought. Maybe I shouldn't go. I'm dirty. And finally, when he got in the true light of the street corner and the street light, he looked at himself and he said, I can't go to the banquet. I'm not dressed properly and I'm covered from head to toe. You see, the closer we get to Christ, the more we see our sin and our stain and our guilt, and we understand that we're not worthy to sit at the Master's feet at that heavenly banquet. But the good news is, folks, that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we're washed, we're cleansed, we're renewed by the blood of Christ and given a robe of righteousness, by which we can sit at that heavenly banquet. You see, blessed are those who are invited. What a great privilege that our God invites us, that He's going out into the corners, to the roads, the back alleys, out into the countryside, and invited everyone. Praise be to God that He's invited everyone, because no one will stand before God and say, you didn't invite me, I wasn't invited. And God will say, all are invited. Blessed are those who are invited. But sadly, not all will come. As Jesus taught in the Gospels, we take now as a reminder of our own personal invitation, and we come face to face with our future at communion. You know, when Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, that can also be transliterated as do this as a reminder of me. Because, you see, Jesus died for our sins, yes. Yes, He shed His blood to redeem us. Yes, His sacrifice is sufficient to save us. Yes, He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But we're reminded today, as we sit here and later kneel before our Christ, we're reminded of a greater banquet, a greater communion of the saints, a time of celebration. And most importantly, we're reminded that Christ has invited all who repent of their sins in the same way the King invited the people to the feast. The question today is, who are you in the story? Who are you in the story? Have you ignored the invitation? Have you said, well, I'm busy right now, there's a day coming, I'll be retired, or I'll have more time for Jesus, for the church? Sadly, we are all invited, but there are those in our families, our friends, in our schools, in our communities, at our workplaces, that have not only ignored this great invitation, but they rejected it altogether. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Later He finishes up in Revelation 22. Jesus says, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. I want you to think about that, folks, what it's going to be like that day.
but a glorious day of celebration, of feasting, praise and worship, glorifying Almighty God because of His grace. God, thank You that You have invited me and that You've given me the faith to respond and say, yes, I believe. And now today I come to the table knowing that I am unworthy, but because of the robe that Christ has put on me of righteousness, I can sit and feast today, reminded of Christ's sacrifice, but also reminded of that great heavenly banquet that I shall someday have the privilege of sitting with the Lord. We come to the Lord's table of thanksgiving with these concluding words from John in the book of Revelation. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Join me together as we profess our Christian faith.